This evening, I want to go back to the period of time when Christ started teaching and preaching. Right after he was baptized, we know that right after he was baptized that he was called up into the wilderness, that he was called up by Satan and he was tempted, and he overcame these temptations. Now I want to go to start with to right after his baptism in John, the first chapter, the 29th verse. I want to read several verses here. I think they're important verses to us, for it's a testimony of the truth of Christ that John has given to us. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, that this is the Son of God. John had no doubts that Jesus was the Son of God. He had been told that he who the Spirit descended upon and it remained with was the Son of God. And he had saw this. He had taken part in it. The next few verses here, he bears a witness to others concerning this. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. These two men were later to become a part of his apostles. They had a testimony, not only of that which John was teaching and preaching concerning his baptism for the remission of sin, but they also had a testimony of who Christ was and what he would be to them. We go to the fourth chapter of Matthew, and it's speaking right after this period of time. In the 17th verse. This is speaking right after when Christ came out of the wilderness from being tempted. It says, From that time Jesus began to preach and to repent, to say, Repent, for the kingdom is heaven is at hand. We go into Mark, 15th chapter, and they add a little to that. First chapter, the 15th verse tells us that he said, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, both of these men wrote of the same event. One of them placed just a little more into it than the other. For his teachings going forth was the kingdom that he was teaching. And he was teaching for them to repent and to believe in the gospel. I want to go into the fourth chapter of John. No, it isn't either. Right where we're reading. We'll stay right here. Starting with the 18th. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. I believe that these two men, all four men, but these two first men, Andrew and Peter, already having a witness of Christ, would not have hesitated to follow him as it says they did here. I wonder if they would have been so quick to follow if they'd have realized the effect that would have had upon their life, the things that was going to transpire over the years, that they were going to be with the 12 innermost closest to Christ, that they were going to be called truly fishers of men. Andrew apparently preached most of his preaching in Greece and in Asia Minor, and he was crucified in Achaia, and he was crucified. And apparently Peter was crucified also in Rome, and they say with his head down. Now whether this is the actual thing that happened, it's history that we find, but we have records here that this is what happened to these two individuals. These other two men that he called apparently knew of him. But we find within these four those that were quite often with Christ in his teachings. We can go through the story here and we can find that he called others. And he called them to come and to follow him, to be part of his ministry and his gospel. According to the dictionary that I have, James and John apparently were cousins of Christ. They think that their mother was Salome, who was a sister of Mary. But none of these men hesitated in their call when Christ said, Come. He placed on them quite a lot of training, really, in being with them. Because he went about the countryside and he took them with him. And he healed the sick and the lame and the deaf. And there was those that were there when he raised the dead, as he raised Lazarus. I want to turn to John, the 21st chapter, 15th verse, as he gave a specific command to one of these men. It was at a later time, but it was still a command, and I think that command in that day is the same for them. I think it's the same for us now. I think those who have been called by Christ to fulfill the calling that they have to do this. In the 21st verse, the 15th and the 17th verses. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. If it was important enough for Christ to go over this three times to Peter, Feed my sheep, I'm sure that it is just as important for us to go over this at this time and to feed the sheep. And who are the sheep? They're the followers of Christ. They're those individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ, those who have taken Him to be their leader and their Savior, their salvation. And I feel that these individuals that have accepted this need to be fed just as much as those that are out that haven't heard of Christ yet. Because there's many places that we're told that we must endure unto the end, that we must overcome the things of the world, that we must be able to live this life as Christ has given it to us. So I think that it is very important that we study the Gospels and the Gospel of Christ as He's given it to us, and that each one of us use it in our daily lives, not only the ministry. There isn't a one of us, I'm sure, that doesn't have Bible and the Book of Mormon in our homes. We can use these. If we have a problem in understanding them, there are those of the ministry that we can go to. We can get down on our knees to Christ, to God, and He'll give us those answers too. He'll help us to understand and to know what we need for feed. I want to read of another group of men that He called in Luke 10, the first 9 verses. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 by 2 before His face into every city and place, whether He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Do you think that the harvest was truly any greater then than it is now? I doubt very much that if there was any greater harvest of souls at that time than there would be right now. The laborers are few, and the harvest is great. Therefore, it places a burden upon each individual that's been called to take forth the message of salvation. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He sent out this men, and I believe that the number that He sent out here, I believe would be 70. I believe that He sent out 35 pair of individuals. We have an office of 70 in our church. And apparently from here is where we get it. And I know in the last few years there has been some that has been called into this office. And if this is so, those of these 70 originally were called that they would go before Him as He went. And my thought is that if this office is an office in the church, that those that have been called to it are very apt to be called to be going directly before Christ. For we're all aware that we're living in latter times. He gave them definite instructions on what to do and how to go. They were going peace, and they were going with love for those that were about them. They were to labor with the people, and they would receive that which they needed from it. And we find out, if we'll go over to the 17th chapter, what happened when these people returned. 17th verse, excuse me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. These men come back in joy. They come back rejoicing in the power that they had been sent out and in going before him among the town and among the people. But I want to read the next three verses with that. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. These men that he had sent out had been called of him. Their names were written in heaven. And he tells them that it is much more to rejoice about because of the Father knowing them and having their names written in heaven than it is because they can walk upon serpents and because the devils are subject unto them. We know that the devil is subject unto Christ. And we know that if we will follow through as Christ has told us to, that they'll be subject to us through his name. The name of Jesus Christ is sufficient to control each of those. This kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, I want to talk just a little bit about it. Go to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The 20th and the 21st verses. It tells us where the kingdom of God is. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm quite sure that that upset a lot of the people of that day. Because they wanted and they believed and had down through the years that there would be a kingdom set up, a ruler from heaven. They couldn't understand this. They couldn't understand how that kingdom of God could be within you. And it's a little hard to understand. But we're told that our body is a temple of the living God. And that if we will open, that his Spirit will come and dwell within us. And if his Spirit comes and dwells within us, giving us the Holy Ghost to overcome and to know the things that he would have, then within us is truly the kingdom of God. Because he is of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to John 3, the first verse. I'm doing a lot of reading this evening. Because I feel that there's a lot of scriptures that if I was to tell them, I might leave out a word or two. I might leave out something that is important, some meaning that is needed to be there. Starting with the first verse through about the first eight. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. When you first hear this, it is a little hard to understand how you might be born again. But he explains it pretty thoroughly. Except a man be born of the Spirit, water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into that kingdom. We know that we enter into the water of baptism for the remission of our sins. We know also that the baptism of the laying on of the hands of the Holy Ghost, that we might receive the Holy Ghost. Laying on of the hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, I think I should have said. But we must come forth new in the gospel. It can't be just going on and not starting in. There's none of us that can go out and start a new job, but what we have to start learning about it. And when we start with Christ, it's the same way. We have to start and learn those things, each one as they come. The same as we do if we take on a job. We may know some jobs that we take, we may know a considerable about, but we still have to get the fundamentals of the different ways that different people do things. And Christ has His way, and there's only one way. It's the way that God ordained that it should be. To be born is to be brought forth. It's something that's new. That's what we have to be. These men that he called forth, preached this gospel throughout that whole territory, that whole area. They had first-hand information. They were with him. They followed him. They knew what was going on. They saw the miracles that he did and the teaching that he taught. And they didn't understand them all. Eventually they did. Eventually those things begin to work out so that they would understand them. I want to turn to 1 Peter. In the first chapter. Starting at the 23rd verse through the 25th. Speaking here of being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God that endureth forever. That is what these men that were called went out and preached. It's what Christ preached. This word that, if it was accepted and believed and lived with, would endure forever. Endure forever by our being able to be with God and with Christ in the hereafter. Because it would be forever that we would be with them. When I say forever, I don't know what God's plans are. I don't know what He has set up for us in the afterlife. But I have enough faith in Him that I don't worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will take care of things. I read Mark 1, the 15th verse, and I want to read it again. I want to read the 14th verse with it. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." To repent is to change one's mind, to be sorry for what we've done. Quite often it's to change our purposes, to change our way of life. It's to repent, to change. We often hear the gospel explained as Christ's story or as good news. I want to go into the Book of Mormon tonight and read the words of Christ. Page 673, starting at the 25th verse. This is the gospel as He says that He has given it to us. And it encompasses most of what I've read this evening. "Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day, when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing enter into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day." Now, that is what Christ told these people was his gospel. Some of that is pretty strong against what we might like to hear. Pretty strong against those who are not spotless before God. We know that each one of us, maybe I'll rephrase that and say that I know that I in myself, without the help of Jesus Christ, cannot be spotless. But His grace, the grace of God that has given me the knowledge of His gospel, that has given me the opportunity to know and to understand some of the gospel of his. I know that it can direct and lead me, that when that time comes, that with proper repentance, that I can be one of those that is lifted up at the last day. This gives us reason to go on with life. Gives us a reason to follow Christ as strong as we can follow him. To put aside the things of the world that are with us this day, because there are so many things that are about us that we accept as everyday things that are not right in the eyes and the sight of God. We have to be careful how we accept these. I doubt if there's any of us in our work, when we go about our daily, making our daily living, that don't come in contact with things that are not right in the sight of God. We don't really like these things. And I don't know how sometimes to really work with them. You don't have to accept them. Sometimes we have to put up with them, but we don't have to be part of it. We don't have to do these things ourselves. All we can do is live our life the best way that we know how. Live it with plenty of being on our knees before God. And something we want to remember is that we don't have to be on our knees to pray to God. If I feel that desire in my heart that I need to draw closer to God, that I need to talk to him, I can be driving down the road at 55 miles an hour. I can be doing most anything else, and I can still take time to speak to God. And we need to do this because we need him in our daily lives. For we have, as those men of old, been called of God to spread his gospel, to spread his words. I want to close by reading in Matthew, it's the last words that Christ spoke unto the 11 before he ascended into heaven. The 18th through the 20th verses. I'm sure they've been read many times, and I'm just as sure that they apply to each one of us as they did to those individuals then. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I don't know what more we could ask than to know that Christ is going to be with us even unto the end of the world. Thank you.
Wednesday evening we have scripture study. Turn to number 297.
Thank you.
Instruction and admonition that we received. We pray that thou would help us to look unto thee as the giver of all things and to follow after thee, to follow the example of thy Son and to feast upon his words that we might be guided in thy ways. We pray for thy watch care as we go from here and for thy blessings for all that seek thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.